Have you ever found yourself trapped in a frustrating cycle of promising to change, trying desperately to change, but never actually changing? Like Pastor Craig Grossell, who would commit to healthier eating only to end each successful day with a midnight feast of brownies and ice cream. This universal struggle explains why his approach to transformation has resonated with millions. The breakthrough insight? Lasting change doesn't come from modifying your behaviors. It comes from transforming your identity. When you shift how you see yourself, different actions naturally follow. This isn't just pop psychology. It's a principle rooted in ancient wisdom and confirmed by modern research. You do what you do because of what you think of you. Our behaviors aren't random or the result of weak willpower. They're natural expressions of who we believe ourselves to be. When Groeschel encountered teenagers preparing to fight in his church parking lot, his initial excitement to watch quickly transformed when his identity activated. I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. This awareness immediately changed his response from spectator to peacemaker. This explains why behavior modification fails. We make grand declarations like, I'll read my Bible daily, or I'll quit smoking, yet return to old patterns weeks later because we've tried changing what we do without changing who we think we are. It's like pulling a weed without removing the root. Motivation and willpower are limited resources that deplete quickly. True transformation happens not through gritting your teeth, but through embracing a new identity that makes different behaviors natural expressions of who you're becoming. Our identity often forms through distorted lenses, others' perceptions, our worst moments, or internalized lies. Consider Amy, who believed she was stupid until a teacher helped her see she simply needed more time to process information. This new perspective transformed her, turning school dread into excitement. False narratives about ourselves shape our behaviors and limit our potential. God defines our identity differently. When Peter denied Jesus, Jesus didn't label him betrayer, but restored him as rock. When a woman caught in adultery stood condemned, Jesus called her forgiven, not sinner. God sees not just who we are, but who we're becoming. Transformation begins when we align our self-perception with God's view, seeing ourselves through His eyes rather than distorted mirrors. When we believe we are who God says we are, our behaviors naturally shift. The person who believes they're forgiven stops living in shame. The person who knows they're loved stops seeking validation through destructive relationships. When Matthew McConaughey accepted his Oscar, he revealed his hero was myself in 10 years. This concept of future you holds remarkable power for personal transformation. When we vividly imagine who we want to become, we gain both direction and motivation. Most people fall prey to the end of history illusion, acknowledging past changes while doubting future ones. This creates a blind spot that limits our potential. The truth is, you will change. The question is whether intentionally or accidentally. Psychology and scripture confirm our transformation potential. God promises to complete the good work He began in us, making us complete, steady, strong, and firm. This isn't passive. It requires our participation. By creating a compelling vision of your future you, not just what you'll accomplish, but who you'll become, you establish a target for deliberate practice. Most of us approach change through trying, exerting willpower in the moment to make better choices. But trying doesn't work. Training does. Trying is attempting to do the right thing by exerting effort in the moment, while training is committing to developing strategic habits that equip you to do the right thing in the moment. Consider marathon running. No one completes a marathon by simply trying hard on race day. They train systematically for months, building endurance through consistent practice. This principle applies to spiritual growth, relationships, financial discipline, or any area where we seek change. Discipline is simply choosing what you want most over what you want now. It's the bridge between goals and accomplishments, between who you are and who you want to become. Your desires don't determine who you become, your disciplines do. By shifting from trying to training, from sporadic effort to strategic habits, you create sustainable change that works with rather than against your limited willpower. Our lives are largely shaped by habits, not conscious choices. Research suggests about 40% of our daily actions are habitual rather than decisions, meaning our destiny is determined more by autopilot behaviors than intentional choices. Habits function through a four-part loop: cue, trigger, craving, need, response, behavior, and reward, feeling. When repeated enough, this process becomes automatic as the brain connects cues directly with rewards. To manage habits effectively, we must understand our triggers across five categories: place, time, mood, moments, and people. People particularly influence our habits. Research shows we're 57% more likely to be overweight if a close friend is, demonstrating how social connections shape behavior. This explains the biblical wisdom: walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. Understanding the habit loop and our personal triggers allows us to intervene at any point, changing cues, redirecting cravings, altering responses, or finding healthier rewards, giving us power over the automatic behaviors directing our lives. Despite our best efforts, many of us remain stuck in unhealthy patterns, addictions, jobs we hate, or spiritual stagnation. Some situations don't just feel stuck, they feel dead. The Apostle Paul captured this struggle perfectly. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Even after his spiritual transformation, he still failed repeatedly. We stay stuck because we rely on willpower instead of God's power. Willpower is a finite resource that depletes with use, trapping us in a shame cycle. We try to change, succeed briefly, fail when willpower depletes, feel guilt that reinforces our negative self-image, try harder, fail again, and eventually conclude we're fundamentally flawed. The resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. To access it, we can renew our minds through Scripture, remain in Christ through authentic prayer and obedience, acknowledge our powerlessness, I can't, but God can, and ask for His help when tempted. Walking by the Spirit is like learning to walk, awkward initially, but natural to our true selves. We might wobble and fall, but that's not failure, it's learning. The difference between what we want now versus what we want most is time. By depending on God moment by moment, we can choose what we want most over what we want now. You can be transformed, not through your power, but through God's. You can't, but He can.